truly the messenger of Allah and that he was the prophet of Allah. They knew that in their own selves. But they would outwardly deny it from obstinate rejection and turning willfully away from the truth. Just as Allah the Most High said, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 146. With the explanation, those to whom we have given the book before recognize Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just as they recognize their own sons. However, a group of them hide the truth when they know it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so they knew that he was indeed Allah's messenger and that he was the prophet of Allah. But they refused to affirm it outwardly because of haughtiness and envy which they had for Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and out of envy which they had for the Arabs, because they wanted that prophethood should be just in Banu Israel, and they did not want that prophethood should appear in the offspring of Ismail. However, Allah particularizes with his mercy whomever he wishes, he the perfect and most high. And he said the saying of this rabbi, Inna Najidu, we find, Sheikh said, meaning they find written in the Tawrat that Allah will place the heavens upon one finger and the earths upon one finger. Sheikh said, meaning the seven earths, and Aradun is the plural of Ard, earths. And Ash-Shajar, the trees and plants upon one finger. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, all the trees and plants, that means all the trees and plants of this world, all the trees and plants of the land and the sea, every tree and plant. Walaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. That Allah will place them all upon one finger. Wathara ala isba, and the soil upon one finger. The Shaykh said, Athara means at turab, the earth or the soil. And he quotes an ayah to support that. Allah the Perfect and Most High said, Lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil arb wa ma baynahuma wa ma tahta thara. Surah Taha, the 20th surah, ayah 6. With the explanation, to Allah belongs everything in the heavens and everything in the earth. To Allah belongs everything in the heavens and everything upon the earth, and whatever is between them, and whatever is beneath the soil. Sheikh said, meaning under the soil. He's saying, and the rest of the creation upon one finger. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, meaning all the remaining created beings. Then he said, so here, five fingers, asabi'ah, five fingers are mentioned. Each finger has some of the creation which Allah the Perfect and Most High created upon it. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said in his explanation that this contains affirmation of fingers for Allah, that we affirm for Allah fingers, isba, as befits him. And he said, and we affirm an isba, a finger, that is true and real. We affirm true and real fingers for Allah, as befit him, he the mighty and majestic, just the same as we affirm for him a hand. And it does not mean that he will place these upon a finger. It does not mean a statement to say how easy it is for that he will act with regard to the heavens and the earth, as some of the people of misinterpretation say. In other words, meaning there are some deviants who take this text of Allah's fingers and they say it doesn't mean a literal finger, it means, it's a metaphorical word, meaning how easily Allah will act with regard to these created things. The Shaykh said this is false and futile. Rather, we affirm for Allah true and real fingers as befit Him. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, فَيَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ. So he will say, I am the sovereign king. The Shaykh said, Shaykh al-Fawzan, and no one will dispute with him with regard to that. So this shows that Allah the Perfect is singled out with sovereignty on the day of resurrection. Just as Allah, the Majestic and Most High, will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Surah Ghafir, the 40th Surah, Ayah 16. To whom does sovereignty belong today? Then he will respond to himself and say, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. That it belongs to Allah, the One, the Irresistible. Same ayah from Surah Ghafir, 40th Surah, Ayah 16. The Shaykh said, and no one will be able to dispute with regard to that, nor claim any form of ownership of the heavens or the earth for themselves. Because no one actually possesses the heavens or the earth except Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Then he said, as for temporary kingship and ownership, which is given to some of the people, then this is something just that is temporary, that will be removed from them. It is not true and real kingship and ownership. Rather, it is just something temporary, and it is a test which will pass away. Allah the Most High said, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءَ. The ayah from Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 27, with the explanation, say, O Allah, the owner of sovereignty, you give sovereignty to whomever you wish. Shaykh said, so sovereignty belongs to Allah, the Perfect. تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, Ayah 27, with the explanation, you give kingship to whomever you wish, and you take kingship away from whomever you wish, and you honor whomever you wish, and you humiliate whomever you wish. In your hand lies all good. Indeed, you have power over everything. You cause the night to enter into the day, meaning in winter, and you cause the day to enter and take away from the night, meaning in the summer, and you bring out the living from the dead, and you bring out the dead from the living, and you grant provision to whomever you wish without any accounting. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so all forms of ownership return back to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. For He is the one who will inherit the whole earth and whoever is upon it. Inna nahnu narithu al-arda wa man 'alayha wa ilayna yurja'un. Surah Maryam, the 19th surah, Ayah 40. With the explanation, Allah the Most High says, we will inherit the earth and whoever is upon it, and to us you will return. The Shaykh said, his saying, فَضَحَكَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم laughed. The Shaykh said, meaning, when he heard the speech of this rabbi, then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم laughed out of happiness with what he said, because it contained confirmation of what occurs in the Qur'an, and confirmation of what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. He left until his molar teeth became visible. The Sheikh said, meaning his first molar teeth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he left, he used to just smile. And if he smiled a great deal, he would smile to the extent that his molar teeth would become visible. Then he recited the ayah, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. The ayah of the chapter with the explanation, they have not given to Allah the honor and respect he deserves, and the whole earth will be grasped in his hand on the day of resurrection, and the heavens will be rolled up in his right hand, he the perfect and most high, high above whatever they associate. The Sheikh said, so this is something which the Quran came with, just as the Tawrat came affirming it. And the Quran and the Tawrat and the Injil and the Zabur and the pages of Ibrahim and of Musa, all of these came from Allah the Perfect and Most High. And any distortions which entered into the Tawrat and the Injil, then these distortions were only from the Jews and the Christians. Then the Sheikh said, and in the narration of Muslim, it is stated, he will put the heavens and the trees upon one finger. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so this narration contains the addition of mountains. I mean, on the finger that Allah will put the trees, he will put the mountains on that same finger. ثُمَّ يَهُزُّهُنَّ. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, meaning, then he will shake them, he the Perfect and Most High. فَيَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَنَا اللَّهُ. And he will say, I am the Sovereign King, I am Allah. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so this contains affirmation of Allah's tremendous greatness and his lordship and his sovereignty, he the Perfect and Most High. And how tremendous he is, he the majestic and most high. Then he said, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ, and in one narration of Al-Bukhari, he will place the heavens upon one finger, and the water and the soil upon one finger, and the rest of the creation upon one finger. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, in this narration, three fingers only are mentioned. That all of the creation will be gathered up upon them. So this shows how tremendous is Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Then he said, with regard to the hadith, and Muslim reports from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will roll up the heavens on the day of resurrection, then he will take them in his right hand. Then he will say, I am the Sovereign King, where are the tyrants? Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, this is a threat from him, he the Perfect and Most High, to those people who act tyrannically in the world. And Al-Jabbarun, the tyrants, this is the plural of Jabbar, and it means a haughty person with pride, who raises himself above the rest of the people, overcoming or trying to overcome and overpower them by oppression and by force. Then the Sheikh said, as for the word Al-Jabbar, with regard to Allah's name, Al-Jabbar, he the Perfect, then with regard to Allah, it means the one who is exalted truthfully, the one who is exalted in truth. And with regard to a Jabbar, referring to a person, then it is a person who seeks to exalt himself without right, meaning wrongfully. He's saying, Ayn al-Mutakabbirun, where are the haughty or proud ones. Sheikh said this is the plural of mutakabbir, and it means the haughty person, the haughty or proud person who exalts himself, the one who seeks to put himself above the rest of the people through oppression and through force. And likewise, he seeks to exalt himself over and above the truth, so he does not accept the truth. And the Shaykh is indicating the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined al-kibr, where he defined pride. When one of the companions asked him that a person amongst us likes to wear fine clothing, so does this fall under pride? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to him, no, pride is refusing to accept the truth and despising the people. Then, with regard to the narration, and it is related from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that he said, the seven heavens and the seven earths are not in the palm of the Most Merciful except like a mustard seed in the hand of one of you. And as we had mentioned earlier, this narration is weak. This chain of narration contains Amr ibn Malik and Nakri, who is unknown. Ibn Hibban mentions him in his book of reliable narrators, but says he makes mistakes and reports strange things. So we'll leave the explanation of that particular narration. Then with regard to the next narration, which is also weak, that Ibn Jarir al-Tabari said, Yunus narrated to me, saying Ibn Wahab related to us, saying Ibn Zayd narrated to me, or rather he said, Ibn Zayd said, my father narrated to me, saying Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the seven heavens compared to the kursi, the footstool, are just like seven small coins thrown in a shield. Then as we had, this hadith is also weak, is mursal, and it contains a narrator who is abandoned, Abdul Rahman ibn Zayd ibn Aslam. Even though he was famous in tafsir, yet in narrations of hadith he was abandoned. But one thing that the Shaykh mentions in explanation of this, which is also proven by the next narration anyway, is he says, this narration shows, or rather this narration proves, the existence of the kursi, of Allah's footstool, and that it is something created, and that it is greater than the heavens. And this contains a refutation of those who explain the kursi, the footstool, to mean Allah's knowledge. This narration here and the next narration of Abu Dharr contain a refutation of that idea. And what is correct is that al-kursi, the footstool, is other than Allah's knowledge, something else. And it also contains a refutation of those who explain the kursi, the footstool, to mean the throne, the arsh. Some people said the kursi is just the arsh. It's another word for the arsh, the throne. He said here, this narration is a refutation of that. It shows there are two clearly separate things. Because a mention of the throne comes after the mention of the kursi. Then the Shaykh said, Shaykh al-Fawzan, and there occurs in the hadith that the kursi, al-kursi, mawdi'ul qadamayn, al-kursi is the place of Allah's two feet. Then with regard to this narration, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, points out that the only narration that's authentic in this regard, that there's nothing authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stating this. However, it is authentic from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he said, al-kursi, the footstool, is the place of Allah's two feet. This is reported by Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak. Sheikh Muqbil said in his checking of Ibn Kathir, it is sahih, its chain of narration is sahih, authentic to the standard of Muslim. Sheikh al-Albani said, in his checking of At-Tahawiyya, it is sahih, authentic, as the saying of the companion. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so it, the kursi, the footstool, is a created and separate object and is tremendous in size. It is more extensive than all of the heavens, despite how extensive they are. And it is greater than all the heavens. It's wider than all the heavens, and it's greater in size than all of the heavens. Then he brings the authentic narration, that's authentic due to supports, that Abu Dharr said, radiallahu anhu, I heard Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, the footstool, compared to the throne, is just like an iron ring thrown in the middle of a vast desert. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, his saying, Abu Dharr said, then Abu Dharr was the noble and virtuous companion who is known for zuhud and taqwa and piety and knowledge and worship. The one who was one of the earliest, the first and foremost of the Muslims, and was one of those who performed the hijrah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, I heard Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, the footstool compared to the throne is just like an iron ring thrown in the middle of a vast desert. Sheikh said, so the kursi, the footstool, it's already been mentioned that it is a created and separate thing, and that it is greater than the heavens. However, there is something from the creation that is greater in size than the footstool, the kursi, and that is the arsh, as is shown by this narration. And the arsh, the throne, is a ceiling for all of the created things, and it is the highest of all the created things, and it is the greatest of all the created things. And the footstool, compared to the throne, is just like an iron ring in comparison to a vast desert. Sheikh said, because if an iron ring, a ring which you wear upon your finger, if it was to be thrown into the middle of a desert, then it may not be seen after that, or it may be seen as something very tiny. This is how the footstool, al-kursi, is compared to the throne of the Most Merciful. So this narration proves the existence of the arsh, of Allah's throne, and that it is created by Allah from the created things, and that the throne is more extensive than the footstool, and that the footstool is more extensive than the heavens. So all of this shows how tremendous is the Creator, He the Perfect and Most High, who created these tremendous things from the creation. Then just as a last point, and we'll leave the rest, remainder of the chapter till next time, inshallah. Just as a last point, then Shaykh al-Albani mentions in the first volume of his Sahih, Silsilat al-Hadith al-Sahiha, with regard to this hadith, the hadith of Abu Dharr, he said, this hadith comes like an explanation for the saying of Allah the Most High, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, ayah from, which is part of this, ayah which is part of Ayat al-Kursi, ayah 255 of Surah al-Baqarah, with the explanation, Allah's footstool extends over the heavens and the earth. So Shaykh al-Albani said, this hadith of Abu Dharr comes as if, or like an explanation for this ayah. And it clearly states that the arsh, the throne, is the greatest of all the created things. Or rather, it states that the kursi, the footstool, is the greatest of all the created things after the arsh. And that the footstool is a huge object existing on its own. And that it is not just something metaphorical. So this contains a refutation of those who misinterpret it to mean Allah's kingship or the vastness of Allah's authority, as is found in some of the books of tafsir. And as for what is weakly related from Ibn Abbas, that the kursi, the footstool, means Allah's knowledge, then this is not authentic in its chain of narration, because its chain of narration contains Ja'far ibn Abil Mughira. Ja'far ibn Abil Mughira, narrating from Sa'id ibn Jubair, narrating from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And this narration is found, reported by Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. Then Ibn Mandah said, the narrator Ibn Abil Mughira is not strong in narrating from Ibn Jubair. والحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد. So we leave the narration of Ibn Mas'ud and the points that Sheikh Al-Fawzan brings at the end, and a few points from Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, and then the further issues until next time, inshallah. Any points of clarification? With regard to the narration of Ibn Mas'ud, of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, then Sheikh Ibn Thimin rahimahullah, he mentions that it, obviously it contains a mention of kaf, of a palm for Allah. So the Sheikh indicates that there's some weakness in this narration. He says, in the narration also of At-Tabari for this hadith, it uses a different wording and says fi yadillah, in the hand of Allah. So in what the author brings here, there contains an affirmation of a kaf, of a palm for Allah, the Most High. He says, so if this wording is preserved, then that would affirm a palm for Allah. Or if the wording which is correct is yad, hand, then that is what it would affirm. Then he says, as for the kaf, as for the palm, anyway, then it is authentic, established in other authentic hadith. He doesn't mention what they are, but he says it's established in other authentic hadith. One of the with regard to the narration that we had here, where the hadith of Muslim, where it mentions that Allah will take the heavens in His left hand. He'll take the heavens in His right hand. Then it mentions at the end of the hadith, then he will take them in his left hand, that is the earths, in his shimal. And as we heard, some of the scholars have pointed out this wording is not what is authentic. But what's authentic is this hadith with the wording, then Allah will take them in his other hand. And amongst what they quote to point out the weakness of this wording in his left hand is a narration of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, who narrated the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, both of the hands of Allah are yameen, are right hands. This hadith being reported by Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim and others, and declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh Al-Albani. So that's a further evidence that this wording, the left hand, is not authentic. So we affirm for Allah two hands, that both his hands are right hands. reasons for rejecting. It could be ignorance, it could be what. Rejection with knowledge, rejection without knowledge, rejection, obstinate rejection. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
مسعود رضي الله عنه, who said, between the lowest heaven and that which is following it next, there is a distance of 500 years, and between every heaven and the next heaven, there is a distance of 500 years, and between the seventh heaven and the footstool, Al-Kursi, there is a distance of 500 years. And between the Kursi, the footstool, and the ocean above, there is a distance of 500 years. And the throne is above the water. And Allah is above the throne, the Arsh. Nothing from your actions are hidden from him. This is reported by Ibn Mahdi, from Hammad ibn Salama, from Asim, from Zir, from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And Al-Mas'udi reports the like of it from Asim, from Abu Wa'il, from Abdullah, radiallahu anhu. Al-Hafid al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullah, it has other chains of narration. And as we mentioned last time, then Shaykh al-Albani declared its chain of narration to be good in his abridgment of the book Al-Ulu. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said, in explanation of this, he's saying, and from Ibn Mas'ud, he said, this narration of Ibn Mas'ud makes clear the distances that there are between the heavens and the earth, and the distance between the heavens and the Kursi, the footstool, and the distance that there is between the footstool, Al-Kursi, and the throne, Al-Arsh. He said, he's saying, between the lowest heaven, he said, meaning the heaven nearest to the earth, the one next to the earth, about which Allah the Most High said, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. Surah Al-Mulk, the 67th Surah, Ayah 5, with the explanation, and we have adorned the lowest heaven with lamps, and we have made them missiles to repel the devils. The Shaykh said, so between the earth and the lowest heaven, there is a distance of 500 years. And between each two heavens, there is a distance of 500 years journeying. And between the seventh heaven and the footstool, there is a distance of 500 years. And between the footstool and the ocean above, there is a distance of 500 years. So therefore, the created things are in order, firstly, meaning in order of going up, he said, firstly the earth, then above that comes the seven heavens, then above the seven heavens comes Al-Kursi, the footstool, and then above the Kursi there is an ocean. Between the highest part of it and the lowest part of it, there is a distance of 500 years. And above the ocean is the throne of the Most Merciful, the Perfect and Most High. Then he says, and Allah the Majestic and Most High is above the throne. This is the order, I mean, from this earth up to the Arsh, up to the throne. This is the order of the created things and the distances between them. And then the Shaykh said, and between the seventh heaven and the footstool, about which it has already been mentioned that the footstool, Al-Kursi, is greater than the heavens, and that the footstool, or rather that the heavens compared to the footstool, are just like a a small coin thrown in a large shield. And between the heavens and the Kursi, the footstool, is a distance of 500 years. Then above the footstool, Al-Kursi, is an ocean, which is 500 years journeying deep. Then above that ocean is the throne of the Most Merciful, the Perfect and Most High. Just as Allah the Most High said, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ, Surah Hud, the 11th Surah, Ayah 7, with the explanation, and his throne was upon the water. The Shaykh said, so just as there is an ocean upon the earth, which covers the earth, then likewise above the heavens there is an ocean, another ocean. And this is a tremendous ocean, which is 500 years journeying deep. And the throne, Al-Arsh, is above this ocean. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ, the same ayah. So therefore, the Arsh, the throne, is the greatest, the most tremendous, meaning the most tremendous in size, of all the created things. It is greater than this ocean, and greater than the footstool, and greater than the heavens, and greater than all of the created things. So the Arsh, the throne, is the greatest of all created things and the most extensive. And Allah ascribed the throne to himself. So he said, Dhul Arshil Majid. He described himself as being the owner of the throne, the one deserving all praise. Surah Al-Buruj, the 85th Surah, Ayah 15. So Allah praised himself with this, that he is the owner of the throne, he the Perfect and Most High. So this shows that it is a tremendous created thing, and it contains tremendous lessons. Then he said, and there is between the seventh heaven and the footstool a distance of 500 years, and between the footstool and the ocean a distance of 500 years, and the throne is above the water. Shaykh said, meaning that ocean. Wallahu fawqa al-arsh, and Allah is above the throne. The Shaykh said, so Allah the Perfect and Most High is above all of the creation, all of the created things. Exalted high above, he the Perfect and Most High. The Exalted and Most High. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ إِبَادِهِ, Surah Al-An'am, the 6th Surah, Ayah 18, with the meaning, and Allah is the Supreme One above His servants. يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُم مِّن فَوْقِهِمْ, Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th Surah, Ayah 50, with the explanation, they fear their Lord who is above them. And he's saying, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ, Surah Al-Ma'arij, the 70th Surah, Ayah 4, with the explanation, the angels and Jibreel ascend to him. And he's saying, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِئُكَ إِلَيَّ, Surah Ali Imran, the 3rd Surah, Ayah 55, with the explanation that when Allah said, O Isa, I will take your soul and raise you to myself. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so he just quotes some of the examples of the texts proving that Allah is above, exalted high above, and is above his throne. Shaykh said, and the proofs that Allah is exalted and above his creation are many in the book and the sunnah and the intellect and the inborn nature, to the extent that some of them have said, the proofs for this reach 1,000 proofs. And Al-Hafiz al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, he wrote a whole book on the topic of Allah's being above and exalted, which he called Al-Ulu lil-Ali al-Ghaffar, and it is printed and can easily be found. And he mentioned in that the texts proving that Allah is above and is exalted and is above his creation. And the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah are agreed in consensus, ijma', that Allah, the Perfect and Most High, is himself ascended and above his creation. This is why Ibn Mas'ud said in this narration, Wallahu fawqa al-arsh, and Allah is above the throne. Meaning, since the throne is above all of the creation, and Allah is above the throne, this shows that Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, is exalted and is the Most High and is ascended above all of his creation. And that all of the creation are compared to Allah, the Majestic and Most High, just like a mustard seed, as has preceded. And his saying, لا يخفى عليه شيء من أعمالكم. Nothing from your deeds are hidden from him, the Shaykh said, meaning, along with the fact that Allah is exalted and above, no one should think that he is far away from his servants. Rather, he is exalted and above. Yet, along with this, nothing that the sons of Adam do is hidden from him. So he, the Perfect and Most High, is above the throne, but his knowledge is everywhere, so that nothing is hidden from him. And he quotes the ayahs, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 5, with the explanation that nothing whatsoever in the earth nor in the heavens is hidden from Allah. Then he quotes the ayah, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ, Surah Al-Hadid, the 57th surah, ayah 3, with the explanation that Allah is the first and the last, the uppermost and the innermost, and he has knowledge of everything. Then he quotes the ayah, يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ, Surah Al-Hadid, the 57th surah, ayah 4, with the explanation, and whatever enters into the earth, and whatever comes out from it, and whatever descends from the heaven, and whatever ascends to them, then he knows it. And he is with you wherever you are, and Allah sees whatever you do. The Shaykh said, he's saying in this ayah that he is ma'akum, he is with you, the Shaykh said, meaning with his knowledge, he the Perfect and Most High. And in his encompassing you, you are not hidden from him, and nothing from your deeds is hidden from him, the good deeds and the evil deeds. So everything which comes from the servant, then Allah the Perfect and Most High knows it, whether it be acts of obedience or sins or good or evil, all of that is known by Allah the Perfect and Most High. Nothing from your deeds is hidden from him. And he quotes a long ayah from Surah Yunus, the 10th surah, ayah 61. So the Shaykh then summarizes by saying, so no one should imagine that because Allah is exalted and high above, that he is far away from his servants and that he does not know their deeds, thinking that the Creator is like the creation. Since if a person is in a high place, then he will not know what is happening beneath him, and he will not know what the people are doing below. That is with regard to the creation. But as for Allah, the Majestic and Most High, then nothing whatsoever is hidden from Him. And all of the creation, no matter how great the created things are or how extensive, then compared to Him, the Perfect and Most High, they are tiny or insignificant. He encompasses them all. He knows and sees them. And He hears whatever happens within the creation. He sees what happens and He has knowledge of everything. He, the Perfect. The Sheikh said, so this shows of His encompassing everything. And with regard to the next narration, the hadith of Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, and as we said last week, that narration is not authentic. Then with regard to the end of the chapter, then Sheikh Al-Fawzan brings some points of benefit from these texts that have occurred in the chapter. So he says, and from these texts, some tremendous and fine points of benefit can be taken. Firstly, they show acceptance of the truth from whoever comes with it. Because the Prophet ﷺ accepted the truth from this Jewish man, and he was pleased with it, alayhi salatu wassalam. Obviously referring to the first hadith mentioned in the chapter. The second point is that these texts show that it is legislated to speak about Allah's creational signs, the signs that Allah has put in the creation. It is legislated to speak about them in order to take lessons and admonition and to venerate Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and to single Him out with worship. So speaking about these creational signs is not a case of just mere research or just adding to your information. Rather, it is done to derive lessons and admonition and to use these things as proof for the right of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, to all worship, and that nothing else be worshipped along with Him. That is what is desired from this. Then the Sheikh said, the third point is these texts contain affirmation of two hands for Allah, the Majestic and Most High, and affirmation of Al-Kaf, a palm for Allah. And as for this statement, and it occurred last week as well, then that's established, the attribute of Allah of the Al-Kaf, the palm, then it's established in a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu an, reported by Muslim. Hadith number 1014. In the chapter of, a hadith with regard to giving charity. Then the Sheikh said, and it contains the attributes of Allah that He has two hands, a right hand and a left hand. And there occurs in a hadith, in a different hadith, وَكِلْتَ يَدَيْهِ يَمِينَ, and both of His hands are right. And this hadith is a hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhumah. المقسطون على منابر من نور على يمين الرحمن وكلتا يديه يمين. The hadith that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the people who are just will be upon raised seats on the right hand side of the Most Merciful, or at the right hand of the Most Merciful, and both of His hands are right. Reported by Muslim in the Book of Leadership, hadith number 1458. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so Allah has a right hand and He has a left hand, as is mentioned in these hadith.
So he has midweek. That some of the verifiers, they hold that a narration that mentions a shimal, a left for Allah, is not an authentic narration. But what's authentic is his saying, his description of his having a hand which is his other hand. Sheikh al-Fawzan is saying here that we do affirm a left hand, a shimal. That hand is described not only as being his other hand, it's also described as being a left hand. Then the Sheikh said, so his right hand does not resemble the right hands of the creation, and his left hand does not resemble the left hands of the creation. And he also mentioned before, we affirm for Allah fingers, asabi'. And he said, and the fingers of Allah the Perfect do not resemble the fingers of the creation, rather they are as befits Him, He the Perfect and Most High. Then the fourth point of benefit is that these texts contain an explanation of the distances between these created things. Then the Shaykh goes on to describe how this contains a refutation of these modern theories, the theories of those who do not believe in the seven heavens. And they do not believe that there is anything above the heavens. So the Shaykh said that this narration here, along with the other authentic texts and hadith, they are a refutation of this false and futile idea. And as he makes clear, he repeats the fact that the creation, as is clear from this narration and other narrations, that we have the earth, then above it the seven heavens, and above that, so as what is mentioned, the Kursi, and then that ocean, and then the Arsh, that is what is in existence and is correct, contrary to the saying, these foolish sayings of those who deny that. And the Shaykh said, fifthly, these texts contain affirmation that there are seven earths, just as there are seven heavens. Then he said, but Allah, the Majestic and Most High, does not mention in the Quran the number of the earths. However, he gave an indication of it in his saying, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahun, Surah At-Talaq, the 65th surah, ayah 12. With the explanation, Allah is the one who created the seven heavens and from the earth their like. The Shaykh said, so he's saying, He the Most High, wa min al-ardi mithlahunna, and from the earth their like, said this indicates also that the number of the earths is seven. Then the Shaykh said, and this is clearly stated in the Sunnah, in the first narration in this chapter, where it's clearly stated there are seven earths. And also in his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Man iqtata'a شِبْرًا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ ثُوِّقَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ سَبْعِ أَرَضِينَ. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever misappropriates a handspan of land will have it put around his neck on the day of resurrection, right down to seven earths. Shaykh said, so this indicates that there are seven earths. A hadith being reported by Al-Bukhari in the Book of Oppressions, hadith number 2453. And the people of knowledge point out that these earths, the seven earths, are just like the heavens, that they are one on top of the other. They are levels, one above the other. And this hadith is one of the proofs for that, and the ayah as well. Then the sixth point of benefit, the Shaykh said, is these texts contain an explanation of how these created things are, and that some of them are on top of others. So the earth is first, then come the heavens, then the footstool, then the ocean, then the throne. And the Arsh, the throne, is the greatest of all the created things. Then the seventh point of benefit is that these texts contain affirmation that the Kursi, the footstool, is something other than the Arsh, the throne, and that it is a separate created thing. And this is a refutation of those who claim that the footstool, the Kursi, is one and the same as the Arsh. Or those who claim that the Kursi means Allah's knowledge. Then the eighth point of benefit is that these texts contain affirmation of Allah's being exalted above His throne in refutation of the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and the Ash'a'ira, the Ash'aris, and the deniers of Allah's being exalted and above. Those who deny that Allah is exalted above His throne. Then the ninth point is these texts contain affirmation that the knowledge of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, encompasses everything, and that nothing from the deeds of His servants, whether they be small or great, nothing from that is hidden from Him. Then the tenth and last point is these texts show the obligation of singling out Allah, the Most High, with all worship, because of the fact that all these tremendous created things are insignificant compared to Him, He the Perfect and Most High. And they are all tiny in comparison with Him. And He, the Majestic and Most High, is the one who controls them all and who knows whatever happens within them. So He is the one who alone deserves all worship. And these texts show the falsity of worshipping anything else besides Him, worshipping those who do not possess any benefit or harm for themselves, not to mention others, nor do they possess any ability to give death, nor life, nor any ability to resurrect. And the Shaykh finishes by saying, so with this blessed book, the book of Tawheed, which is Allah's right upon His servants, is completed. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallama ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. And just quickly with regard to Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, then the Shaykh said, with regard to this narration, of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that this chain of narration is weak because it contains a narrator who is unknown. Then the Shaykh points out that it contains affirmation of a palm, a kaf for Allah. And the Shaykh indicates that this narration is weak, but then he says, however, it is established in other authentic narrations. And we just mentioned earlier on that al-kaf, Allah's attribute of a palm, is contained in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا تَصَدَّقَ أَحَدٌ بِصَدَقَةٍ مِنْ طَيِّبٍ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبٍ إلا أخذها الرحمن بيمينه وإن كانت تمرة فتربو في كف الرحمن حتى تكون أعظم من الجبل كما يربي أحدكم فلوه أو فصيله. A hadith reported by Muslim that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, none of you gives charity from his pure earnings, and Allah does not accept that which is pure, except that the Most Merciful takes it, except that the Most Merciful takes it in his right hand, even if it be a date, so it grows in the palm of the Most Merciful until it becomes greater than a mountain, just as one of you fosters a foal or a colt. Hadith reported by Muslim. Then the Shaykh said, with regard to the narration of Ibn Mas'ud, the authentic narration, that between the lowest heaven and the next heaven, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, this narration is mawquf, is the saying of the companion Ibn Mas'ud alone. However, he speaks of something which cannot be said from opinion, so it carries the ruling of coming from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an is not known to have taken anything from the people of the book. Then the Shaykh said, with regard to his saying in that narration, Wallahu fawqa al-arsh, and Allah is above the throne. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, this is a clear textual statement affirming Allah's ulu, Allah's exaltedness, that he, his that, Allah himself is above. Then he said, and Allah's exaltedness is of two types. Firstly, exaltedness of his attributes, and this is not denied by anyone who claims attachment to Islam, that Allah in his attributes is exalted. No one who claims attachment to Islam denies this. And what it means is perfection of the attributes of Allah. And the Shaykh quoted as proof of that Surah An-Nahl, the 16th Surah, Ayah 60. Then he said, and the second aspect of Allah's exaltedness is that Allah is himself exalted and above. Ulu al-dhat. The Shaykh said, and this is something which some of those who claim attachment to Islam deny. And they say, every exaltedness related to Allah means the first type of exaltedness, exaltedness of his attributes. They do not affirm that Allah himself is exalted and above. And they say about the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah is above the throne, they say it means his strength and his control and his authority. It does not mean that he himself is above the throne. The Shaykh said, and there is no doubt that this is twisting the texts and is a denial of the attributes. And the Shaykh mentioned, and that those who deny the like of this attribute are of two categories. The first category is those who say Allah himself is in every place. The Shaykh said, and there is no doubt whatsoever that this is misguidance which necessitates unbelief of the person. And he said, the second type of person who denies that Allah himself is above the throne is those who say about Allah, and he quotes a statement that is famous from them, that they quote in their books, that they say about Allah, these people, he is not above, nor is he below. He is not to the right, nor is he to the left. He is not connected to the creation, nor is he separate from the creation. The Shaykh said, and this statement of theirs is a total denial of the existence of Allah altogether, and Allah's refuge is sought from it. Which is why some of the scholars have said about this statement of theirs, if it were said to us, describe non-existence to us, then no more extensive description of non-existence could be found than this statement here. So these people fled away from something which is indicated in the texts. I mean, they fled away from saying that Allah is above his throne, and something indicated in the intellect and indicated in the inborn nature. They fled from that to something which is denied in the texts, in the intellect, and in the inborn nature. Then Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, with regard to the next statement in the narration, لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ, nothing is hidden from him, from your deeds. The Shaykh said, this covers the deeds of the hearts and the deeds of the limbs, actions which are seen and actions which are heard. He knows all of this because his knowledge and his encompassing covers all of that. And that is mentioned after his being mentioned as being exalted, to show that his being above and exalted does not prevent his knowing your deeds. So this itself contains a clear indication that he himself is above, he the exalted and most high. Then the Shaykh mentions a point, I'm just quoting points from what he comes here to try and fit it in. He says, the Shaykh said, وَلَيْسَ يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ أَعْمَالِ بَنِي آدَمٍ, and nothing is hidden from the deeds of Banu Adam from him. He said, if the word actions, al-a'mal, is mentioned along with sayings, then a'mal, deeds, means the deeds of the limbs. And sayings will refer to sayings of the tongue. But if one of these terms occurs on its own, then it covers both. I mean, if it is a text that just mentions deeds, a'mal, then it means actions of the limbs and speech of the tongue as well. Then the Shaykh makes a point that the hadith contains affirmation for Allah of attributes that we are to affirm for him. And this narration contains an attribute that is negated for Allah. So it contains that which we affirm for him and that which we negate for him. He said, the part that we affirm is that it mentions that Allah is above the throne. That which is an attribute that we negate for him, he said, is in the last part, there is nothing hidden from him, from the deeds of the sons of Adam. So it contains something that's negated for him, a negation of any of the deeds of his servants being hidden from him. Then the Shaykh makes a point which is very important, but there's not time to fit it in here, so I'll just mention briefly what he's saying. He's saying, whenever there is a text denying or negating something for Allah, then it will only come to affirm its perfect opposite for him. So he said, an example of that is this text here. When it's mentioned, nothing from the deeds of the sons of Adam is hidden from him. This is a denial, but it contains an affirmation of its perfect opposite, meaning an affirmation of Allah's perfect knowledge. Meaning, why is nothing from the deeds of the sons of Adam hidden from him? Because of his perfect knowledge, which encompasses everything. The Shaykh said, and whenever there is a text denying something for Allah, then it is not just purely denial, because pure denial does not contain any praise. And indeed, sometimes pure denial will be something blameworthy. And he gives examples of that. And he gives an example, he's saying, for example, when you say about a wall, the wall does not oppress anybody. He said that is not praise of the wall, because a wall is not able to oppress anyone. So just denying an attribute is not in itself praise, because it may be a denial of something, it may be denied and not present because the one being described does not have the ability to do that thing. The Shaykh said, with regard to Allah, and he gives another example, the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat Al-Kursi, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ, no slumber seizes him, nor any sleep. So in that ayah, slumber or sleep are denied for Allah. The Shaykh said, but this is not just a mere denial, rather both of these are denied to show their perfect opposites are attributes of Allah. He said this ayah contains a denial of slumber or sleep, and along with it an affirmation of Allah's perfect life and his perfect sustaining of everything. And he goes into more detail in that. He said, so whenever you find a text denying something for Allah, then it is because there is an affirmation of its perfect opposite for Allah. It is not just pure, merely pure denial. Then with regard to the further issues at the end of the chapter, and he mentions them, the first is an explanation of the saying of Allah the Most High, وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The Shaykh said, the explanation of this ayah came in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, where it's shown that the Prophet ﷺ confirmed what the rabbi said, that Allah will indeed place the heavens upon one finger. The second further issue at the end of the chapter is that this knowledge and its like remained with the Jews, those who lived in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and they did not deny it, and they did not interpret it away. A very important point the Shaykh brings here, that this knowledge of these attributes of Allah, that He will place the heavens on a finger and the like, this was knowledge which they had from their earlier books, and it remained with the Jews, and the Jews, not even the Jews, they did not deny these attributes, nor did they interpret them away. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, it is as if the author is saying here, the Jews are better in this regard than those people who twist these attributes, because the Jews did not deny these attributes, nor did they misinterpret them. Whereas a people from this ummah, they come and they say, Allah does not have fingers. And what is meant by that is actually His power. So it is as if the author is saying here, the Jews are better than them in this matter, and they have more knowledge, or better knowledge, they have better knowledge about Allah than those people in this regard. The third further issue is that the rabbi, when he said this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed the truth of what he said, and the Quran came down in confirmation of what he said. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen objects slightly to this and says, what is apparent is not that the Quran came down affirming this, but what is apparent is that the Quran had heard, this ayah of the Quran had already come down, which is why the Prophet ﷺ quoted this ayah straight away. The fourth further issue is that the Messenger ﷺ laughed when the rabbi mentioned this tremendous knowledge. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, this contains a proof that it is permissible to laugh in agreement to something, because laughing shows pleasure and a lack of dislike. The fifth further issue is a clear statement of a mention of the two hands, and that the heavens will be in Allah's right hand and the earth's in His other hand. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, so it is confirmed that there are two hands for Allah, the Most High. This is confirmed by the book, the Sunnah, and the Ijma, the consensus of the Salaf. And his saying, in His other hand, does not mean a denial of the mention of the left hand, which will follow in the next matter. And he says the sixth matter is a clear statement that the other hand of Allah's is called Ash-Shimal, His left hand. Shaykh said, and speech about that has already proceeded. The seventh further issue is a mention of the tyrants and the proud people, how they will be at that time. The Shaykh said, meaning that at that time, on the day of resurrection, if they have any tyranny or pride, then let them stand up and arise with it. The eighth further issue, obviously that's a threat that they will not be able to. The eighth further issue is his saying, they are like a mustard seed in the palm of one of you. The ninth further issue, I'll just quickly run through them now. The ninth further issue is how tremendous is Al-Kursi, the footstool, compared to the heavens. The tenth further issue is how tremendous is the throne compared to the Kursi, the footstool. The Shaykh said, because of the narration that the footstool compared to the Arsh is just like an iron ring thrown in the middle of a whole desert. The 11th further issue is that the Arsh, the throne, is something other than the footstool and the water. So the Shaykh makes clear this contains a refutation of those who say that the Arsh, the throne and the footstool are one and the same. And they quote a hadith of Ibn Mas'ud in this regard, and that hadith is weak. It contains Uthman, a man, a narrator called Uthman, Ibn someone, whom Ad-Darqutni said was weak. It's a weak narration, in other words, reported by Al-Hakim. And it contains a refutation, he says, of those who say Allah's footstool, his kursi, means his knowledge. And as we had last week, that narration is also weak. It's not authentic. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said that Allah's footstool means his knowledge. It contains a weak narrator in his chain, it's not authentic. The 12th further issue is, it contains an explanation of the distance between each of the heavens. The Shaykh said, and that is 500 years. The 13th further issue is that between the seventh heaven, it contains an explanation of how much distance there is between the seventh heaven and the footstool. The Shaykh said, that is 500 years. The 14th issue is the distance between the footstool and the ocean. The Shaykh said, likewise, that is 500 years distance. And as in explanation he mentions, 500 years distance of travelling. How much distance a person would travel in 500 years. The 15th issue is that the throne is above that ocean. Shaykh said, that is clear. The 16th issue is that Allah is above the throne. Shaykh said, and that is clear. The 17th further issue is the distance between the heavens and the earth. Shaykh said, that is 500 years. The 18th further issue is the breadth of each of the heavens is 500 years. I mean, from the bottom of one heaven to the top of it, that is 500 years. The 19th and last further issue is that the ocean which is above the heavens is 500 years deep, and Allah knows best. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, and speech about all of these matters with their evidences has proceeded in the chapter. And some points that can be taken from this chapter are that Allah is such that nothing from the deeds of the sons of Adam is hidden from him. And the second point is, all of this contains a warning against disobeying Allah, the mighty and majestic. And then the Shaykh says and finishes with saying, and Allah knows best. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallama ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa as'alullah an yakhtim lana wa lakum bit tawheed. Ameen. Ameen. And we ask Allah, he said, that he concludes our lives upon tawheed for us and you. Ameen. And with that is completed the book of tawheed. Walhamdulillah. وصلى الله على محمد الحمد لله على منه وكرمه. Any points of clarification? Quickly. After the adhan, if there are, inshallah. That the ocean, that the rabbi. With regard to the third further issue that the author, rahimahullah, brings, that the rabbi, when he mentioned what he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he affirmed what he said, and the Quran came down in affirmation of that. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, I just quickly missed part of it out. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, what is apparent from the words of the author by his saying the Quran came down in affirmation of that is that the Quran, this ayah of the Quran, came down after the saying of the rabbi. But this is not the case. Because in the narration of Ibn Mas'ud, he said, then he recited his saying, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ. they have not honored and respected Allah as He deserves, the Shaykh said. So this indicates that the ayah had already come down before that. However, what the author actually intended here is just that the Quran came down to affirm this. With regard to the distance mentioned in the hadith, then one of the explainers here mentioned 500 years on foot journeying, and that the Prophet ﷺ spoke to the people and described it in that way as being 500 years journeying. He spoke to them in a manner that they would understand and which they knew at the time. So instead of saying, you know, a distance of, for example, miles or the like, he mentioned something that they would understand. It was a distance that one of them would travel in their time. And one of them mentioned, one of the explainers mentioned, it was like 500 years travelling by foot, wallahu a'lam. Which is 500 years, didn't state. That was from the explanation of it, not from the hadith. With regard to next time, then inshallah we'll begin sharah, the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah of Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, with the explanation of Shaykh Al-Fawzan, inshallah. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.